Hello, it's Friday, September 15th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. We're glad you're all tuning in today. We have a very special guest today, the very reclusive and seclusive Killtown, who's done some fantastic work on 9/11 and also Flight 93. He very rarely does interviews, so we're very pleased to have him on today. And what we're going to talk about are some recent articles that he wrote about Flight 93, his analysis of the photographs of the plume or the mushroom cloud, and also a woman named Val McClatchy. So we'd like to welcome Killtown to Wing TV. How you doing, KT?
Hi, KT.
Doing good. How are you, Ethan, Victor?
Real good. Now, before we jump in, and I know we have a lot to cover today, tell everybody how they can find your articles on the Internet. Some of them are called Flight 93 Plume Photo Analysis. Also, there's one, Val McClatchy Photo, More Smoking Guns or Total Fraud. How do they find this information?
Well, I just set up a special blog just for the Flight 93 Photo Analysis, and you can find that at flight93photo.blogspot.com.
All right, and we'll definitely give that information at the end of the show. Now, what I want to do is, first of all, jump into examining this woman named Val McClatchy. Anyone who studied Flight 93 knows that she became very well known for a picture of the mushroom cloud that supposedly arose from the wreckage of Flight 93. So, first of all, let's go over what she was doing on the morning of 9/11.
Yeah, the official version of events
right, as
we have had them related to us.
Right. So, according to reports, she was supposedly watching the Today Show when she saw reports about the World Trade Center towers being struck. Then she called or tried to call her husband, but said there was some bad cell phone reception. Then she heard a jet going overhead. KT, take it from there.
Yeah, she mentioned she hears a loud roar of an airplane going overhead from the Indian Lake towards the crash center, and which is funny because Flight 93 supposedly came in the opposite direction.
Right, it came from the east going towards the west, towards D.C. So right off the bat, she's saying the plane's coming from the opposite, the wrong direction, right?
Yes, and there's been many reports how there was a small, white, mysterious plane flying around the area at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like that was the plane that she saw.
Okay. Then there's a big crashing boom, and her house shakes. Then what did she do?
Well, she's sitting on the edge of her couch, and instinctively she jumps up, runs out the door, grabs her camera, and takes a picture. Now, this is weird because I don't know about you guys, but if I was on the couch and I felt some big blast, almost knocked me off the couch, I think my first reaction is ducking for cover.
Plus, didn't she say that her lights and her phone went out also?
And she says her lights went out, her phone service went out. But, I mean, she doesn't duck for cover or anything. She just jumps up, runs out, grabs her camera, and takes this picture of this beautiful shot of the plume.
Uh-huh. Okay, now,
that's really... Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
She said that she got out there within 5 seconds to take this photo, and she says she didn't aim the camera at all, yet her photo comes out extremely clear for somebody who didn't aim, and the camera was sitting right near the front door,
yeah,
correct?
Tell everybody why the camera was so conveniently located.
Okay, she had just purchased this camera. It was supposed to be like a month old.
Right.
And the reason she had it ready by the door is that she had been helping out a friend who just moved to the area, apparently, and her friend was going to fly over her house in a helicopter.
Uh-huh.
That's why she had her digital camera ready by the door, so she could run out, grab it, and take a picture of him flying over with his helicopter.
Uh-huh.
What happens instead is the most unusual terrorist attack ever happens in her backyard, and that's what she runs out and takes a picture. Now, what's the odds on that alone?
Yeah, and especially if she was watching the news shows on today, and you remember right when these reports first came on TV, it was pandemonium, chaos, America under attack, blah, blah, blah. Now, if someone's sitting in their home and they hear these loud crashes, booms, the lights go off, the phone cuts out, and as you said, she doesn't duck, she doesn't think that, you know, maybe they're coming to attack her house or her area, she just runs out the door to take a picture.
She had the clarity and presence of mind to ignore all of that happening and rush for the front door, grab the camera, go outside, take a photo, and then what happens? She drops the camera, right, supposedly?
Yeah, well, I've always wondered, like, why did she only take one picture?
Right. We wondered that, too.
The only one she released.
Right.
But supposedly, after she took this one and only picture, she dropped her camera and said the battery fell out.
Now, instead of picking it up and putting the battery back in and trying to test the camera to see if it still worked and take more pictures, she just stopped right there, right?
Yeah, she stopped and she said she tried to call her husband and stuff on her cell phone, but she mentions the cell phone reception around there is very spotty, and she couldn't get through. And that's when she took off up the street to their sawmill.
Yeah. Now, when asked why she only took one picture, Val McClatchy said that she didn't realize the significance of this picture, which seems totally ludicrous to me, especially if she was watching everything unfold on the Today Show. Now, after that, then, instead of walking up the road or trying to check out what happened, she goes in her house and starts doing what?
Well, yeah, she says she's put on a barbecue for everybody that's coming for the help out the crash scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so she starts cooking. After all
that,
she just goes into...
She says her electricity went out, so, I mean, obviously the only thing she could have done was start a barbecue in the backyard or something.
Yeah, and she said this was for the rescue workers, yet she didn't realize the significance, and how did she realize, or how did she know, that these rescue workers of all the houses in Shanksville or that area were going to come to her house?
Well, how did she know that rescue workers were going to show up? She
right.
didn't know what the boom was, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems like she knew exactly what to do.
Yeah. So she ended up taking this printout of her photo to the police.
Wait, first of all, before that, this photo sat in her camera for a couple of days before she even did anything with it, didn't she?
Well, that's correct. Like, the first article that was written about it said that after she took the picture, she printed out a copy and took it to the police.
Okay.
After she put out a call for any evidence in the area about the crash.
Uh-huh.
Well, I assume that to mean, like, that same day. But, however, when that article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette came out about me questioning her the authenticity of her photo, it said it was days until the police put
right.
out the call. So that's what she said. She had this photo in her camera, like she just forgot about it, you know, just sitting in her camera. And then all of a sudden, then she hears the call, and so she prints it out and goes to take it to the police. And then she said within either a half hour or an hour, three FBI agents came into her house to examine her photo.
Okay, and what happened after that?
Well, she downloads it in her computer, and they're looking at it in her computer, and they give her the story that they see debris flying out from the plume.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you look at her photo, clearly nothing's flying, no debris is flying
uh-huh.
out.
We've never seen any. Right.
Yeah, but that's the story that supposedly they gave her. So, and that's the reason why they took her memory card back with them.
Right.
However, in a video interview of her, she mentions twice how they took her memory card. And the second time, there's like a reenactment of somebody opening up her computer and taking out her hard drive.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like not only did they take her memory card from her camera, but the FBI also took her hard drive. Now, why in the world would the FBI take the hard drive out of someone's computer?
Exactly.
Yeah, also, the three FBI agents signed their names on her shirt. You want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah, there's a when they're talking, there's a shot of a T-shirt and the signatures of the three FBI agents. And if I got their spelling correct, they're special agents David J. Hacker, Todd J. Brown, and Phil Luzander.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of odd that they autographed her shirt for her.
Yeah, it's kind of like
we thought it was odd too,
like being starstruck or something. Now, there's people that are trying to corroborate her story. One woman is named Donna Glessner, and she says, oh, well, you could find 100 people around here that saw the same mushroom cloud that she took a picture of. But Donna Glessner now, she's one of the instructors, one of the people that instructs the Flight 93 ambassadors. We met one of the gentlemen when we visited earlier this year, and she tells them to stick to the official 9/11 Commission report under all circumstances. So already, how can we take her word for anything?
And where are any other pictures of this mushroom cloud other than Val's?
Yeah.
Exactly. If 100 people saw this big, huge smoke plume in the air, why don't Val's the only one who took a picture of it?
Yeah, the only one. So since we're talking about this mushroom cloud, tell everybody about your analysis of the mushroom cloud or the plume.
What's wrong with the mushroom cloud in Val's picture?
Well, I first became suspicious about it when a friend of mine named Rumpel sent me a satellite, like a Google satellite photo, where he mapped out the direction of her camera direction and the plume. And he noticed that the plume, the camera direction, didn't line up over the crater.
Say that again.
He had it where, I'm sorry?
Say that last part again.
So my friend Rumpel, when he sent me this Google satellite map, he drew out the camera direction of where Val took the photo. And he says that, according to the her camera direction, that the smoke plume didn't even come over the crater. It came over behind, almost by the pond, which is about almost 300 yards away from the crater.
Uh-huh.
So, the,
so
the
he said he was going to get back to me because he was going to go to Shanksville. And I never heard back from him. So when I was updating my page, I had put a Google link just so people could see where the crater was. And I decided, hey, let me go see if he was correct in his analysis. So I remember on one of the sites where Val McClatchy has her photo advertised, she lists her at home address. So I popped it in Google Map, and I did the analysis. And sure enough, the plume in her photo doesn't even line up over the crater.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's something wrong with the size of the cloud, and it looks like the distance, correct?
Well, yeah, when I was looking at this, I mean, this was a big, huge find, because, you know, this would mean like the explosion did not originate over the crater. But then I was looking very close to the her photo, and I just imagine, now, her house is about 1.5 miles away from the crater. But if you look at the plume in her photo, it is huge.
It is.
Right.
It looks like it just came over the horizon on the picture. So I did some calculations, and if the plume in her photo came from the crash site, it had to be about 7 football field lengths wide.
Wow.
This is like the size of like a daisy cutter explosion.
Yeah.
It's just too big for the plane to have crashed to have caused it.
Yeah. Now, KT, do you know when this photo was first released? On what date?
You know, I don't. I just kind of saw it on around the internet when I started doing my...
Yeah, because I was
website.
Because I was trying
I never,
to find.
I never found out exactly when it came out. But what's funny is that she's supposed to be selling this photo for charity, not keeping any money. However, she's suing the AP for it.
Right, right.
So why is she suing the AP when she's all the money is going to it's a charity? You know?
Yeah, and we're going to get into this financial dealings in a bit here, but I want to get back to the mushroom cloud because. When we were doing our Flight 93 interviews last year with Visigoth, one of the things that struck me was on your website when you show this infamous mushroom cloud, then you show ordnance blasts from, I believe, Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever, and this looks exactly like an ordnance blast from a missile or a bomb or
as
something.
As opposed to a jet fuel column.
Right, so talk a little bit about that element.
Well, this is what first... Most 911 researchers are familiar with this photo and the plume because it looks just like what you'd think would come from an ordnance blast.
Uh-huh.
It's more gray in color and not almost black as you would see from a explosion from jet fuel. And also the column's really thin, meaning that it was a short pulse blast, you know, something that just exploded and there's really no fuel underneath it fueling it up.
Right.
Or else the column would be real thick. If you look at an explosion coming from a plane crash, you know, planes usually have a lot of fuel when it crashes. And you see this real thick column coming up, continuing to feed the plume. Well, this plume doesn't have that. It's very thin. It looks like all the fuel just burned off at once, which is more indicative of an ordnance blast or a fuel bomb blast.
Right. Now, the question has been posed. Could this mushroom cloud have drifted into position with the wind? And I believe you and Rumpel analyzed that, and the answer would be it would have taken about 50 seconds for that cloud at 9 miles an hour, that was the wind speed that day, to cause the cloud to drift over via the wind. So she says she took her picture about approximately 5 seconds after she heard this explosion, right?
Yeah, well, she said when the FBI agents came in, they timed her, and they timed her at about approximately 5 seconds from feeling the blast almost getting knocked off the couch and running out and taking the picture.
Uh-huh.
So... we have about 5 seconds, and from a mile and a half away, it takes approximately 8 seconds for the sound to travel. So that's about 13, 15 seconds for, you know, the time of the plume to rise up the air before she snaps a picture. So, and Rumpel was saying that it would take 50 seconds for the plume to drift over in her camera line. So obviously the times do not correlate.
Right. Now I want to read a quote that was attributed to you in, I don't know exactly which newspaper article, but it was one that was fairly recent, I believe. And you say, if it really was an ordnance blast, not too far beyond the White Barn, and this is the mushroom cloud, of course, if it was really was an ordnance blast, not too far beyond the White Barn, then this would be a true smoking gun and one of the clearest examples of complicity in the 9/11 attacks by the U.S. government, because what else could have caused such a large explosion, and who else would have been behind it? Now, KT, I want to ask you, if we have, and I believe this is true, a real smoking gun down here in Shanksville, why isn't the alternative media, and why aren't more people in a 9/11 truth movement covering this? Why is it being suppressed so much right within our own movement?
Well, that's a good question. After this article broke in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, you know, every day I was trying to track it and watch it, and I was surprised how little of the alternative press picked it up. Only a few did. You guys did. A 911 blogger put it on theirs, and a few others, smaller guys. But none of the big guys in the alternative media world put it on their site, and I couldn't understand why. This is such a great opportunity jump on this. It got great exposure, and they just suppressed it.
And I think, in my opinion, this is as much a smoking gun that if Flight 93 obviously didn't crash in this 10 or 12 foot crater, and instead it was a missile or something that created this ordnance blast, this is as much a smoking gun as the World Trade Center towers or the Pentagon. Yet all these big names are obviously suppressing this information. How can that be?
I just don't understand why they're not putting this on their site and promoting it. I mean, I think the Flight 93 crash of all the incidences of 91 is the least looked at.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because it's not sexy, you know. It crashed in an abandoned area. How boring, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Only a few witnesses, you know. It didn't crash in our defense headquarters. It didn't crash in some of the tallest skyscrapers in our country. So, you know, and I even had some people say that it was, quote, low on the totem pole of evidence of 911, and I just cannot believe what I was hearing.
Yeah, well, we disagree with that, absolutely. We are quite intrigued. We think this is perhaps one of the more challenging angles of 9/11 that needs to be addressed, but it's certainly not impossible to address. Now, in addition to the obvious problems with the mushroom cloud, the distance, there's also the matter of the color discrepancies
yeah.
between her photo and, say, the one that was taken, I believe, by a Tribune reporter recently with Val in the picture. Talk about the color inconsistencies with the Red Barn.
Yeah, well, over the past few weeks, there's actually been a lot of mentions in the mainstream media, and there was one that was mentioned by the Tribune Democrat, which is in either Jonestown or Johnstown, which is right next to Shanksville.
Johnstown.
And obviously the reporter came over to her house and took a picture of Val clutching her alleged digital camera that she used. And, you know, the same backdrop as her photo. But what's interesting is when you think of a photo and someone's going to give you a digital photo, you kind of have in your mind of what it's going to look like because you've taken a bunch of photos yourself. And this photo, the colors and everything look exactly what you think. However, when you compare it to Ms. McClatchy's photo, the color contrast is so starkly different. It's not even funny. Her colors on her photo are so bright and brilliant. I mean, they almost burn your eyes out.
That's right. They're very vivid.
If you look at just the red barn, the barn in her photo is totally red, like bright red, whereas the color of the Red Barn in the Tribune Democrat photo is a dull red,
yeah.
like it's been aged.
Right, like old paint would look.
Yeah. Well, KT.
Exactly. So her colors in her photo have obviously been manipulated.
Well, somebody's photo colors are
yeah.
off there, and the question is, how long before 9/11 would that barn have been painted? Because I've lived in places where barns are that look like that, and the older the paint job is, the darker the paint tends to be.
Yeah. Well, KT, let me ask you then point blank here. What's the possibility that Val McClatchy's photo was photoshopped?
Well, I posed this question because when I was looking at her photo, and I noticed like the plume was just way too big. I also noticed that when you look at the plume, you can see the detail of the plume very distinctively. So it's almost like this plume was taken at a closer distance than her photo. If you see the horizon, the tree line, you know, the plume has a better detail than the tree line. So I'm thinking, man, I'm thinking this thing is photoshopped on there. Because when you look at her story doesn't add up at all. And then I also asked some of the guy members of Loose Change Forum to submit their Photoshop version of her plume, just so we could see if it would be easy enough to Photoshop a plume.
Mm-hmm.
They had like 20 submissions, and
I saw that.
They only did it within 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, in fact,
there's some really good photos on there, some Photoshop smoke plume.
Right.
I think it would be very easy to do.
Well, actually, the people on that responded to your request said that they were able to do it from the lowest time of 5 minutes to the greatest amount of time, which was 30 minutes for one person. Yeah.
So, for the record, how far away was Velma Clatchy's house from the crater?
It's about 1.5 miles.
She told us she took that photo at a distance of 1 mile.
Okay. Yeah. And, well, since we had a chance to meet Velma Clatchy this spring, and we subsequently got kicked out of her office by Velma Clatchy, she was rude, to say the least. You've also had your run-ins with Miss McClatchy. Tell everybody about your dealings with her.
Well, yeah, I mentioned that she had been suing the AP over her releasing her photo. Well, I found her photo just on various internet sites, and I put it on my Flight 93 page. And, I don't know, a couple months after, she sent me a threatening email to sue me because it was copyrighted and I was using it. And, you know, it was a kind of a mean-spirited email. You know, she didn't ask me nicely or anything. And if she asked me nicely, I would have took it off. You know, I would have apologized, and I would have said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. But no, she said if I didn't take it off, she's going to sue me to the full extent of the law or whatever she said.
And nothing.
Really mean, nasty email.
Yeah, and nothing's happened since then, I take it, right? She hasn't sued
you? No, I never bothered responding because I thought she was just maybe bluffing or trying to bully me. But I've never emailed her back. I've never called her on the phone. I've never contacted her ever.
Yeah. Well, I wish you could have seen her face when we were in her office, and I showed her the cover of Phantom Flight 93, our book about 93, and there's just a small thumbnail picture of the mushroom cloud photograph, and you could see visibly in her face, it just started twisted. You could see her blood starting to boil. And
what's curious is you and we have experienced this aspect of Val McClatchy's personality. In an interview she did with Windsor Park Stories, which is on video on your website, she shows a totally different Val McClatchy, very sweet, very soft-spoken, and she's supposed to be on there to talk about her photo, the photo she took called End of Serenity on 9/11. It ends up being not really about the photo, though. It ends up being all about Val, her personal problems, her health problems, her money problems.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and her husband's business going under.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, if you think that her photo may be fake, you have to ask, well, what's her reasons? What's her motive? Does she have any? You know, and there wasn't really much motive that you could find until I discovered this interview on video. And she starts talking, and my eyes pop out of my head. She mentions that right before 9/11, she had suffered, quote, severe financial loss and from her business. And her business was a sawmill owned by her husband called JCM Industries. And JCM is the initials of her husband's name, John C. McClatchy.
Mm-hmm.
So right away she's saying how she had severe economic loss from her business, and they're about to file bankruptcy. And the same thing is 9 days after 9/11, that's when they officially declared bankruptcy on their business.
Uh-huh.
And she goes on to mention that at the end of the year, like December 30th, is when they officially had to close down. So she was going through tough times financially. She also mentioned that she might lose her house, which is, you know, a horrible thing to experience. And then she goes on to say how she's having these major health problems with not only her, but one of her children.
But
so they're in very dire straits financially and emotionally. you know, you can't just help but wonder, was that enough to make some person do something they would normally not do?
Well, and then she had a wedding she needed to I guess, help pay for.
But then, KT, with all of these problems that would put most people under, in the spring of 2005... all of a sudden, she opens her own real estate business.
Took, right after the bankruptcy, she took real estate classes, which I'm sure aren't given for free. And then she opens up her own realty office.
So where does how does this all transpire?
Well, the funny thing is you got to look at how much she sells her photo for.
Uh-huh.
If you want to buy a copy of her photo, it's $20 a pop.
Uh-huh.
Now, you think that for $20, you get, like, a real photograph, you know, photo paper and everything. But all you get is a computer printout, which, you know, an 8.5 by 11 computer printout, which probably couldn't cost more than 25 cents to make.
Right. Now,
so she's making $19.75 profit.
Well, check this out. This photo has appeared in newspapers and magazines from Newsweek to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, to the internet. It's in a display at the Smithsonian Institution. It's really been put all over the world. It hangs in the hospital in Somerset County. It's being sold at Ida's restaurant in Shanksville.
Plus, some of the money is going to the Todd Beamer Foundation, but Vel McClatchy has said that she's taken some of the money out of this now to pay for her legal or her lawsuits, yet there's no accounting whatsoever. How's the money getting to her? There's no answers.
Well, hold
for
on. Before you answer that, KT, let's just say, too, that this lawsuit against the Associated Press, the Associated Press says that they had permission to distribute her photo. And so the litigation there, I guess, is ensuing. And the question is, if she did this out of the goodness of her heart, why she would be suing them over a photo she gave them permission to use.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, if she's not in this for the money, why is she going after the money?
And then
you know,
keeping...
Why bother suing, you know, a big media outlet like the AP if, you know, she's not keeping any of this money?
Well, and then she admits to keeping some of the money to pay for this lawsuit, this unnecessary, frivolous lawsuit against the AP, over a photo she gave them permission to use. So we're supposed to feel sorry for her that she has court lawyer costs.
Plus, all this money that's coming out of the Beamer Foundation supposedly is on the honor system, so there's no way to even account for what's going in, what's coming out. Isn't anybody else asking these questions?
Apparently not, and I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, so do we.
The funny thing is she says she pays them by the honor system, but she says she keeps $2 from each photo that she sells. I'm wondering who is reimbursing her for the money? How is she getting the money? Because if
right.
you look at her website where it advertises her photo, it tells everybody to make the checks out to the Todd Beamer Foundation.
Which
so
is called
like
Heroic
she's just
Choices
simply
now.
Simply forwarding the checks to the charity, but how is she getting reimbursed for all this money?
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost impossible to penetrate the Todd Beamer wall.
Right.
I know Lisa tried that.
And you know, to get anybody there to tell you anything is virtually impossible. Also, we have to make it clear that Todd Beamer's name does not show up listed on the Social Security Death Index. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we got a couple more questions for you, KT, but very slowly, so everybody can get this. Give your URL address again for the Flight 93 photo analysis, very slowly.
Okay, it's flight93photo.blogspot.com.
All right, so that's
one word.
Yeah, http://flight93photo.blogspot.com. And also, if you go into the Wing TV archives for yesterday, we have an article about KT, about Kiltown's articles, and there's three different links to these articles about the photo analysis, Vel McClatchy, and I'm telling everybody after this is fascinating reading. So,
well, not just that, there are excellent graphics on
yeah.
there to go along with the analysis so that it will be much clearer than just listening to this interview that we're doing now.
Right.
You'll be able to actually look and see what has been done as far as this research and why there are these questions being posed.
Yeah, it really puts it in perspective. A couple more real quick questions. The crater in Shanksville, in this abandoned strip mine, in this field, 10 foot or 12 foot wide, 10 foot or 12 foot the other direction, maybe 12 to 18 feet deep. You have a photo on your site of a Boeing 757. What it would look like if it went into this crater? It doesn't fit, does it?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm along with you guys. I don't believe a 757 crashed at Shanksville. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say it did and try to determine how the plume could get so big. We are told that this plane crashed in the soft soil from abandoned strip mine.
Mm-hmm.
These wing imprints and a tail imprint. And with the new flight data recorders just came out, that's Flight 93, that said it only had 5,500 gallons of fuel on board. Well, if the plane totally burrowed in underground, like the official story is telling us, then, you know, I would assume like most of the fuel did too, because if you look at the crater, just right on the rim of the crater, none of the grass is burned. Like,
right.
All the grass around the crater is not burned. Only an odd section of forest at a weird trajectory is burned. So where did all this fuel come out to make the plume in the first place? You know, because if the plume originated over the crash spot, I estimate it would have to be 6 to 7 football field lengths wide, which is huge. I mean, it's just a monstrous smoke plume.
Plus, we're told the plane vaporized within this hole.
Uh-huh.
I've been hearing so many different stories about what happened to planes under there. But if the whole plane went in there, you know, obviously a lot of the fuel had to, too. So what created this plume? What created this huge plume that we see on Val McClatchy's photo?
Right.
The FBI says that this is a legitimate photo, and it's the closest thing we have to what happened in Shanksville that day, of showing us what happened. Val says she didn't have access to any photoshopping equipment, but it's looking more and more like that photo was altered by somebody, isn't it?
Well, her computer and camera she just purchased right before the attack. They say her camera is a month old. I'm assuming her computer was a month or so old, too, because it was brand new also.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, she buys a new camera, a new computer, as her business is about to go under and they might lose her house, which is odd.
Good point.
You know? So, I mean, I don't know if she could do it herself. I mean, I figure someone her age is probably enough of a computer savvy person and all that. But, I mean, there's days went by before she brought it over to the police, and she said she just left it in her camera and forgot about it.
Yeah.
I mean, she
takes
this miraculous photo of this, you know, odd event that happened in her backyard, which that alone is a billion to one, and she just leaves it in her camera and not even think about it.
It seemed to me, watching the Windsor Park Stories interview that she did, that's video on your website, like she was trying to generate sympathy from the public to feel sorry for her, where she kind of steered that whole interview to be about her rather than about her photo. I was just wondering if you got the same impression.
Well, that's what I got. And what else is interesting, you know, if you read all these latest articles in the news about this controversy, she's kind of saying how, now she wishes she never took the photo and how this photo has become a curse. Well, if it's so horrible for her life and all that, why is she still jumping out in front of the camera, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
To get more media exposure if this photo is such a quote-unquote curse for her.
Yeah, well, but you know why? Because her photo is being questioned. That's why.
Yeah, and to close this out, in Flight 93, we conclude in the book, Phantom Flight 93, that Flight 93 didn't crash land in Shanksville in this strip mine, that it was instead a missile or some type of ordnance. And we hear all these rumors about Flight 93 being shot down. Yet there's some people that say that these shoot-down rumors were actually begun by the government itself to deliberately distract attention away from this crater, because it's obvious that Flight 93 couldn't have crashed there. So to close the show out, KT, what are your thoughts on these shoot-down rumors and where they began and the crater? Wrap it all up for us.
Well, the shoot-down rumors were started that very day, and the government even mentioned it. And I think the next day, a government hearing, General Myers, or one of the generals, even asked if Flight 93 was shot down. So this was started the very day of, and I think it was just a distraction technique, because my first page on Flight 93 was asking, was it shot down or not? My whole focus and attention was from the shoot-down rumor. And it was funny because I had the crater pictures on there, and I was staring them out all the time, and it took me months, over a year, to look at the crater pictures and say, no plane crashed there.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just a distraction technique because they're staged to crater, which is so horrible that they need to distract everybody's attention away from
You're right. You're right. Well, everybody, this has been absolutely fascinating. Everybody out there that's listening, I want you to know that Killtown's doing some of the best damn 9/11 research out there. His site can be found at flight93photo.blogspot.com. And I want everybody out there to do us a favor. Send his links to these other people in the 9/11 truth movement. Send it to people in the alternative movement and ask them, why aren't you talking about Shanksville, about Flight 93, about these possibly altered photos and so forth? Because this is truly, as Killtown says, a smoking gun, and it's being ignored by too damn many people.
Right, and just like the controlled demolition information, the only way we're going to get it out there when people are actively suppressing it is to push it out there and not allow them to continue suppressing it.
Right, and so KT, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show because you're doing some great work.
Thanks a lot, KT. Well,
thanks for having me. I enjoyed the show.
Oh, everybody, we did too.
Yeah, it was just fascinating, as I said. Everybody out there, enjoy your weekend. We're glad it's Friday. We're getting back to normal here at Wing TV. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Have a great weekend.